person in step with His Holy Spirit. And I pray that's your desire this morning. Turn to your neighbor and just greet one another in His name. So thankful to be here and just be able to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing that chorus, Glad Day, when I was born again in the key of F. Amen. Who can testify to that this morning? So glad that we're here and appreciate that, what Brother Bob had to say. Be born by His Spirit. My, what a freedom we have. Oh, glad day when I was born again.
Time here yesterday. It was a wonderful message.
Amen.
For those of you who missed it, you need to go back and hear it. It was real good. This morning we're going to read 71, Psalm 71. As we got our Bible. Let's see. Ooh. 1 through 24. And then before we go to the Word, let's just go to the author and thank Him for the Word. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us to come and gather around Your Word one more time, Lord. And Father, I'd asked and many times as I leave this place, You to bless it and watch over it. Help me, Lord. And just bring back those little souls that walked out, wandered back out into the world, Lord. We miss them. And Lord, your word says it. So I'm standing on that word. We will be there with our offspring. And I ask you, Lord, just to bless those that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever their hindrance is, Lord, you know what it is, and just take it away and bless them. I ask today, Father, that you bless the little bride around the world and bless all those preachers that are still out there preaching their heart out, Father, for you, Lord. Bless them and to stand them upright. Bless Brother Wade this morning. He's prepared. He's brought that body here, Lord, and you just come down and use it, Lord. And just let those words come from that heart, come across those lips you made of clay, and anoint our ears that we can hear, Lord. And today as we read your word, Lord, let us be serious about this. Let us take it into our hearts, Lord, and live it, Lord, like you provided for us, Lord. We ask these things now, Father, and just come down and bless us and be with us and lead and guide us and bless Papa and Nanny, Lord, and lift them up and strengthen them. We ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, and save me.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to me, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. I am a wanderer unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Amen. Saving God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Let them be confounded and consumed that are the adversaries to my soul. Let them be converted with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt.
I will love continually, and will yet praise thee more and more.
My mouth shall show forth the righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declined thy wondrous works.
Now also
declare thy declare.
O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto the generation, and thy power to everyone that is come.
Thy righteousness also, God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Yes. Yes. Amen. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side.
I will also praise thee with psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the heart, O thou Holy One of Israel.
My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they shall see and sleep when I hurt. Thank you for the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. What a wonderful chapter, you know. That chapter, no matter what age you are, As you get older, that's a good chapter to read to just reflect on his faithfulness that he gives us. I think Brother Colley had to leave. I'm not sure if Sister Frieda, but just remember them in a special prayer this morning. God knows all things. And we want to greet our visitors, if there's any visitors here, and those that couldn't make it last night. It was such a wonderful atmosphere and a wonderful service, and maybe you have a chance to go back and watch it. It was spoke to a lot of needs, and I'll tell you, the Lord, he just comes on the scene. He's an on-time God. Amen. It's good to see Sister Frieda coming back. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise to see her this morning. I'll tell you, it's so happy she's here with us, and we just continue to lift her up in prayer and believe God's promises. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and do the tithing offering? So much to thank the Lord for, and we just want to come this morning, relax, take our time. We only have one service. We have some specials this morning. Well, let's just enter into his presence and just give him thanks this morning. And when I look around and see the good things he's done for me, I know sins he freely gives, I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. Oh, can you give him some praise this morning? And I've got so much to thank.
My cares, the
problems I had on yesterday are a stepping stone to a higher place. The trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, oh Lord, I love you more. The more than I surrender, the more than I surrender, oh, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more. For his presence this morning. Praise the Lord. We have a couple of specials this morning. We're going to ask if my family would come up for theirs as they start to get ready. Let's sing that chorus, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank you, Elf. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's sing it once more to him. Favorite scriptures in the Bible is the book of John. It says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And Brother Luke was preaching last night, it's that one spirit, the Christ that we're baptized in, is how we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. So if you know this song that we're going to sing, just sing it with us. It's Here I Am to Worship. Amen. Yeah. so wonderful to us this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus, I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me. And we're going to ask the group to come up. And whoever's in the group, we'll ask you to get prepared to come up. Amen. Hallelujah. Is the Lord using you this morning? I tell you, if he's not, there's a way to surrender. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So give him the preeminence so he can use us to work, to pray, to sing, and to live in his spirit. I'm going to live so God can use me.
Sister Frida, we were supposed to sing this last night, but you're here today, so we're
praise
singing.
The Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Victory resounds.
the Lord's right hand is lifted high. For the Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. For the Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. For the Lord's right hand is lifted high. For the Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us.
The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
We shall believe the report of the Lord. We shall believe the report of the Lord. We shall believe the report of the
report are you going to believe? You going to believe the ABC News, CBS News, Fox News, and God forbid, CNN? Just saying. But we're going to believe the report of the Lord today. Good to be in the house of the Lord. You may stay seated because we're going to have our brother come from Honduras, Brother Josue, and give us a little testimony while he's going to be here with us for a little bit. Brother Luis is going to be interpreting for him today, and it's good to see each and every one of you, but we'll get the service started in a minute, but we're going to let our young brother come up here and give us a report.
God bless you all.
I believe that in just the little short time that God has given me here in this world, in this life,
no he encontrado un deseo mejor para los hijos del Señor que Dios les bendiga.
I haven't found a desire greater than to be able to say to the bride of Christ, God bless you.
Me siento contento por la oportunidad que Dios me ha dado.
I'm very happy for the opportunity that God has given me.
Porque se nos enseña que era necesario que él se fuera.
Because it's been taught to us that it was necessary for him to go.
Pero iba a estar con nosotros de otra manera.
But he was going to be with us.
Amen.
In another form.
Amen.
Y es en su pueblo.
And that is going to be in his people.
Amen.
Y la única forma que tengo en este tiempo.
And the only way that I have it in this time.
De poder abrazar al Señor.
To be able to hug the Lord.
De poder hablar con el Señor.
To be able to talk to the Lord.
Es hablar con esa pequeña parte que está en ustedes.
Is to talk to that little part that's in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yo creo mucho.
I wholeheartedly believe.
Que como los trate a ustedes.
That the way I treat you.
El Señor me va a tratar a mí.
Is the way the Lord treats me.
Amen.
Hay muchas cosas que yo pudiera contarles.
There's many things that I could say.
Que el Señor ha hecho por mí.
That the Lord has done for me.
Y una de las cosas más impresionantes es poder conocerles.
And it's one of the greatest things is to be able to get to know you.
Amen.
He disfrutado su manera de adoración.
I have really enjoyed the way you all worship.
Ciertas cosas diferentes en mi país.
Of course, there are some things that are different from my country.
Pero siempre alabando al mismo Dios.
But we're worshiping the same God.
He aprendido.
I have learned.
Que las cosas están hechas de una manera muy perfecta.
That things have been done in such a perfect way.
Si ustedes se fijan.
If you look.
Si usted saca un pez del agua,
if you take a fish out of the water, out of the ocean,
él muere.
He dies.
si usted saca a un hijo de Dios,
if you take a son of God
de su presencia,
out of God's presence,
él va a morir.
He will die.
Y hubo un tiempo,
there was a time,
que como todo joven,
as any young man,
me llamó mucho la atención el mundo.
The world was calling me.
Somos curiosos por naturaleza.
We're naturally curious about the world.
Solo que ese tipo de curiosidad es muy mala.
It's just that type of curiosity doesn't lead to anything good.
Sin embargo, el Señor me trajo nuevamente.
But the Lord called me back.
Y quiero contarles un pequeño testimonio.
And I just want to just say a quick, a short testimony.
Sobre un accidente que yo tuve.
About an accident that I recently had.
No lo he contado en mi país todavía.
I have not even told them in my church yet, back home.
Pero quiero compartirlo con esa parte del Señor aquí en Estados
but
Unidos.
But I want to share with this part of the bride here in the United States.
Mientras yo iba conduciendo.
While I was driving.
En una curva. Me perdí un poco.
There was a curve that I was going through, and I just kind of lost my thinking.
Por lo que no pude hacer la curva.
I was not able to do the curve, make the curve.
Fui derecho.
And I just kept going straight.
Había un árbol.
There was a tree.
Así que solamente pude tomar fuerte el timón y cerrar mis ojos.
And I was only the only thing I could do was just grab the steering wheel very tightly and just close my eyes.
Para esperar el impacto y tratar de no salir del carro, mantenerme ahí.
Wait for the impact and so that I would not go out the windshield.
Lo curioso es que cuando abro mis ojos,
the curious thing was is that when I opened my eyes,
no he impactado en el árbol.
I did not hit the tree.
He impactado en muchos árboles y estoy rebotando.
I had hit other trees around, the other smaller trees, and I was the car was turning.
Y había una hondonada con una pared de concreto a la cual iba directo a ella.
And I was going towards an embankment. There was a concrete embankment. I was heading towards that.
Cuando alcanzo a ver la pared,
when I see that wall or that embankment,
agacho mi cabeza,
I kneel my head,
y lo único que logro sentir es cuántos han planchado su ropa.
The only thing that I felt was, and then he's asking you, how many of you have ironed clothes before?
¿Se han quemado alguna vez?
Have you burnt yourself with the iron before?
¿Han sentido eso?
Have you felt that?
Sentí eso en esta parte de acá.
That's what I felt right back here on my side.
Una muy pequeña parte.
Just a little small burn.
Y luego no estaba impactado en la pared.
And then I did not end up hitting that wall.
Estaba unos 50 metros del lugar donde tuve que haber impactado.
I was about 50 meters away from the area where I was supposed to hit.
Con el carro completamente destruido.
And the car was completely destroyed.
Y sin ningún rasguño, sin ningún golpe.
I came out of there with nothing. I was not harmed at all.
Después de eso,
after that,
fuimos a la clínica, revisión y todo.
They took me to the clinic and they looked at me.
Y lo único que tenía una pequeña quemada en esto.
The only thing that I had was a little small burn, that little burn that I felt right here on my side.
Yo quiero creer que el ángel del Señor,
I believe that an angel of the Lord or the angel of the Lord,
lo que iba a impactar, quizás él tomó el vehículo y una pequeña parte tuvo que haberme tocado.
Maybe as I was getting ready to hit that bigger tree, maybe he just moved the steering wheel, and maybe that was his touch on my side. I don't know.
Esto es porque no tener ningún rasguño y el carro completamente destruido.
And coming out of there not harmed, but yet the car completely destroyed. Right.
hay gente que ha muerto por menos.
And there's people that have died for less smaller accidents.
Y yo quiero mostrarles un poco de cómo quedó el vehículo.
And I would like to show you maybe how the car ended up.
Quizás no.
Ponerlo aquí.
No se alcance a ver. Okay.
Brothers can get it or not.
Alguna en algún momento el enemigo
at some point the enemy
me quiso hacer pensar que fue el cinturón.
Wanted to make me think that little burn was the seat belt.
Pero el cinturón no toca esta parte de acá.
But the seat belt doesn't touch your backside.
Yeah. Después me senté en el carro, en el vehículo.
And then I set up on the vehicle.
Y puse mi cinturón.
And I put on my seat belt.
Y el cinturón pasa por esta parte de acá.
The seat belt just goes through right here on the front part.
La nuestra cintura.
And then around our waist.
Nunca esta parte.
But
de
never
acá.
That never this back part of your back.
Para mí es algo increíble. No sé si alcanzan a ver cómo quedó el vehículo.
For me is something incredible. I don't know if you can see how the vehicle ended up like.
Y no sé si pensar que todavía tengo que hacer algo por el Señor.
And I don't know if I have to do if it's that the Lord still has something for me to do.
O es que él no me quiere ya todavía.
Or maybe he just didn't want me to go yet.
Yeah, that's it.
Tengo una gran bendición.
I have such a great blessing.
Mi hermano es el pastor en la iglesia donde yo voy.
My brother is the pastor of the church that I attend.
Él me dijo.
He told me.
Que trajera muchos saludos para ustedes.
Bring you all a lot of greetings.
Los reciben.
And will you receive those greetings?
Amen. Amen.
Yo creo que el Señor va a permitirle a él estar muy pronto aquí con ustedes.
I believe that the Lord will allow him to be able to come here and visit with you all soon.
No es porque sea mi hermano, pero el Señor.
It's not because he's my brother, but
el Señor le permite predicar muy bien.
The Lord, he preaches very well.
Creo que a mí me permitió.
And I believe that he's allowed me.
Ser el más guapo de la familia.
To be the nicer looking one from the family.
Me alegra mucho estar con ustedes.
I appreciate it. It makes me very glad to be with you all.
Espero verles pronto.
And I hope to see you all again.
Voy a estar con ustedes el próximo fin de semana.
Lord willing, I'll be with you again next weekend.
Pero si no tengo la oportunidad de saludarles desde acá,
but if I don't have the opportunity to greet you again,
me gustaría saber cuántos envían saludos a una parte del Señor allá en Honduras.
How many would like to send their greetings to another part of the body of the Lord there in Honduras?
Amen. Un día vamos a estar en el cielo.
One day we'll all be together in glory.
Hablaremos el mismo idioma.
And we'll speak the same language.
Adoraremos de la misma manera.
We'll worship the same way.
Y espero verles allá.
And I hope to see you there.
Espero verles porque yo voy a llegar.
I hope to see you there because I'm going to be there.
Dios les bendiga.
God bless you all. Just a quick note, brother Josue or brother Joshua, he's brother Eric's brother, sister Lisa, the one we help support monthly. So he's the brother that we help buy some tires for his truck a couple of years ago. That's his brother. So Lord willing, Brother Eric was going to be with us in January. We're
Amen.
Praying.
Right. Amen.
So you'll get to see the person now.
Right. Amen.
So y'all, and he's the uncle of the little baby Olam that we've been praying about.
Yeah. Right.
So God Amen. Bless you all.
Amen. So we're going to get to see the ugly one, right?
See? Uh-huh. You already said that. We're going to talk about that when he gets here. Man, what a testimony. We had you can stay seated for just a second. We had a driver that worked for us, and he had a pretty bad accident. Didn't hurt him, but he ran into an old man's barn right on the side of the road, and we were getting all the stuff together, and Rick, the one that was driving, he was a Christian man. He just kept saying, "Oh, I know the Lord was riding with me. I know the Lord was riding with me. I know the Lord was riding with me." And that old man stopped him, and he said, "If you don't quit driving like that, he won't." Good point. Since Mom and Dad's not here today, and we've got some special guests with us, I want to turn the camera around, and I want y'all to wave to Mom and Dad there at home. Dad's got a bad rash on his body, so he wasn't able to come. And we want all of you, listen right here, this camera right here. He's going to pan around. Just wave at Brother Dale, that camera right there, and wave at him. He's going to come around this way. Brother Collie, wave. Thank you. Okay. Hey, man, we miss him. Yeah, we sure do. Miss that guy. All right, we can stand at our feet now. But good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have our visitors, that some are not visitors. Kendrick's not a visitor, but he brought a couple with him. And good to have them with us today. And also good to have with us today, Sister Frieda is not a visitor, but boy, good to have you with us today. Man, good to have you with us today. What a charge. What a charge of electricity. Amen. Good to see her. For those of you that don't know, she's fighting a battle. She's fighting that old demon of cancer. And cancer will always lose. Always lose. Under the power of the Holy Ghost, it will always lose. Amen. But good to see you. You know, we've had Sister Jessica and Brother Chris with us for a while. Most of you don't know the story, but her mother is sitting back there in the back, Sister Anita. And now Michael is Larry and Jeannie Scoggins' son, oldest boy. Okay. He's not as bad looking as Gabriel, but he's all right. But it's good to have them with us today. You know, we've known him since they were children. And, of course, we all know Larry and Jeannie. And also, that's his wife. His wife is Anita. Now, you've heard my dad say that the first sermon he preached in Athens, Georgia, what was it, 1969, was at Anita's daddy's church. His name was Brother Homer Mansfield. So he was kind of our second pastor from Brother Mike. We started going to Athens, to Holly Heights, and place smell like creosote. I can still smell that stuff. It's nasty. But Sister Anita's with us today. She's grown up. She's got kids, got grandkids, and good to see her daughter, Michaela, and May, and the twins. I cannot remember them boys' name, but they'll never remember me even not saying anything about it. But good to have them all with us today. Man, good to have them all. Good to have, like I said, Kendrick, where'd she go? Oh, there you are. And the little boy. Boy, don't tell the little boy looks like him. Kinder grew up in this church. A lot of y'all grew up in this church, and we sure do appreciate the Lord. You know, I tell you, I just want to say something real quick. There was a lot of time that when Noah preached, he preached for 120 years, right? And I'm sure he made a lot of friends. He probably didn't have just a congregation of 8 or 7, okay? Probably had a congregation of, you know, several hundred. If it was in the day of Noah as it is today, then you've got a, you know, congregation maybe like 100 like we have here or so. But there was one day Noah preached his last message, and God shut the door. Noah probably did not want that to happen in his humanity, but we all know that we're coming to an end time. And as Brother Luke was preaching last night, there is going to be an end of this race. And we're going to run it well. But I'll promise you, when that door shut on that ark, there was claw marks of those people trying to get in that thing. But it was too late. I'm not trying to scare you or trying to warn you, but the ark door is getting ready to close. We're getting ready. This Gentile dispensation will be done away with, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we're going to get our kids in. We're going to get our grandkids in. Somebody say amen. We're going to get our family in. We're going to husbands, wives. We're going to, as the Bible says, compel them to come. All right? We're going to do all we can. You can't make them. My mama tried to save me for 20-something years. Couldn't do it. But when God ever got a hold of me, that's the one that'll save your soul. That's the one that'll drive you to your knees. That's the one that'll drive you to think about your soul, not about what's going on around you. I know it's hard to get to church. It's hard to stand up. It's hard to do. Listen, like Brother Luke was talking about last night, and, you know, being athletic like he is, different things. You train. And training has never been cheesecake and ice cream or spoons and forks. It's been battles, swords, stuff you put on and you know, the equipment that you use. Well, listen, we've been equipped for this battle. Somebody will win this race. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's all of us. Amen? Myself included. All right? I just believe. You got to be a believer. So we're believing. I promise you, it's worth it. There ain't nothing out there in this world. You can't sit at home and watch television, deer hunt, or, and that's what I'm talking about, me, and everything else. You can just put X, Y, Z in there, whatever you want to. You sit at home, you're not going to get God there, I promise you. That's why we must be, we're herd animals, we're sheep, we need fellowship. I do anyway. Since we just got one service, I'm going to just talk a minute, and y'all just stand up. Keep you from going to sleep. Brother Luis will be speaking today and Wednesday night. All right? So he's going to be interpreting for Brother Josue. But Brother Luis will be speaking Wednesday night. Remember, June in the morning, she's having the other rotator cuff surgery. And we'll have her there about 5:30 in the morning. So just keep her in prayer. And we would appreciate your prayers in the continuous 6 or 7 weeks that we're going to do the rehabilitation. So just remember that. Also, next Sunday, if all goes well with the surgery, I'm going to be at Brother Richard Heights preaching on Sunday. Brother Aaron will be doing Sunday morning. Brother Bob will be doing Sunday afternoon next week. Regular service, just as it is. Amen. So I think that's got all the announcements. You love the Lord. Amen. Had a good service last night. For those of you that missed it, you missed it. It was good. We had a good service. I never heard Brother Luke preach like that. He was sweating when he was talking. So, but I told him, I said, you get about 10 years older, you'll slow that stuff down. Yeah. You'll pace yourself. So let's go to John 1:1. I know this is part 125, but I'm just a little bit slow. But we're going to get up this statue of perfect man. And we're going to have a, as Brother Brown says, a living, breathing instrumentality. Not of the world, but of God. All right, so let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time you give us. Thank you for the people that you've brought in, Lord, the ones that you've assembled from all over the world now with Brother Josue with us. Lord, we appreciate him. Lord, we appreciate all the ones coming from different parts and making an effort, Lord. That effort will not be forgotten. Sister Frieda, Lord, getting up and coming, putting herself together and walking in this door. Lord, give her an absolute supercharge today, Father. I pray that you just bless us now in the furtherance of this service. May as the word goes forth, that it heals each and every one of us, even spiritually and emotionally and physically, that we get a healing today, Lord, and not leave this building as we came in. Father, just bless us now. Be with Dad and Mom, different ones that's home, Lord, that you touch his body. Be with Brother Collie, Lord. He's got a little stomach issue going. I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you take that away from him. And anyone else that has anything bothering them today, Lord, I pray that as the word goes forth, that you'll wash us. Just take care of us all, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry to keep you standing. In the beginning was the what? Word. The word was with
God.
And the word
was God.
And the word was made flesh. That's the key. The word was made flesh. And I want to say in you.
Yes.
And in me. as we were singing that song about in the tents and in the tabernacle, that was a physical thing that was in the Old Testament. But now you're standing in the tabernacle that God wants to dwell in. You're standing in the tent that God wants to dwell in. Amen. He don't worry about cloth and wood and stone and all that. But what? He wants to take your flesh and use you for his honor and glory. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full. Somebody say full.
Full.
Full of grace and truth. Amen. You can be seated, and the Lord has blessings to the reading of the Word. We're going to continue on today. There's something I want to bring out that Brother Keith struck last Sunday about a little part that we've got to go through as we go up this statue of perfect man. Listen, it's not easy. It's a battle. Like I said, it's not a picnic. We didn't bring forks and spoons. We brought swords. All right? So you come today, you come battling to get here, and you'll battle your way back home. Yes, amen? You'll battle your way up tomorrow, go to work, because it's Monday morning. And I pray, like somebody said the other day, I pray that the rapture takes place on Monday morning so the devil will be stranded the whole day Monday and not have nothing else to do with the bride. Amen? Think about that. John 3, verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Now look, listen. Verily, verily. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can we be born and we're old and, you know, he's all carnal, got all kind of carnal stuff going on. Jesus said, look, man, come on. I'm going to say it one more time. Verily, verily, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So we have, as Paul said, we have had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. But now we have another life, the life I now live. And that's what we've been talking about. But now we're going to go back down to the bottom as we were talking about, as Brother Luke was talking about last night on a cornerstone and a headstone. You got to start at the bottom. You got to start at faith. You got to start down at the bottom of the pyramid. You got to start at the new birth, not just an emotion, not just something you like this message and you want to listen because you know more than your neighbor. That's what sometimes this message has become. As all the years I've been listening and watching people, it's more like, well, I got something you ain't got. You got to come to me to get it. No. You got to go to Jesus and get it. You got to go to Christ and get it. And when you get to Christ and you do get it, he'll bring you to the message. He'll have to because the message is the Word of God. Amen? But it's got to be flesh first. Paul said to let her kill it. In other words, all my quotes, all my sermons that are written down are going to kill you. All them 1,100 sermons of William Branham is going to kill us if we don't take that off the page and put it in here. And what? Make it live.
Yes, sir.
Look, he says, marvel not that I say you must be born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, this is after you're born again. This Peter's already born again. Peter's fixing to tell us how that God's going to mold us into his image. All right? We've come into the family of God. Listen, we've gotten the right place. We've gotten the right building. We've got in the right atmosphere. All right? And now he wants us to be born again. Now that we're born again, he does not want us. If you take those twins back there, where'd they go? I was going to use them for an example. But anyway, so you got those two babies back there, two twins. Beautiful little boys. Beautiful. They're humans. They're born. But if you take them two and you go put them in that study right there, pretty study. Brother Dale's had many good sermons come out of that study, and we've had many good ministers in there, so maybe the power of God's in that study. But you lay them two babies in that study and come back 3 months later, well, I ain't going to tell you what's going to happen to them. They got to be fed. That's probably what they're doing now. They're feeding them, bathing them, changing them, and that's what God does with me and you. But then he says, hey, let's don't be a 40-year-old baby. Let's don't be a 20-year-old baby. Grow up. I have fed you. I have clothed you. I know this is y'all talking to your kids. It's me talking to mine, too. Grow up. Get a job. Get out of my house. No. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another. What? With a pure heart. What? Fervently. Passionately. Listen, we have people that are passionate about everything. Look, go on YouTube. You go on YouTube and you look. People are passionate about this. They're passionate about this. They're obsessed with this. Well, I want to be. I don't want to be obsessed with God. I want to be possessed of God. Listen, you're going to be possessed of something, one of the two. Let's just make sure we're possessed by the right spirit today. If you're not, then we can do something about that. Paul, Peter says, being born again, B-E-I-N-G, being, over and over. It's not the new birth you got to have every time, but you got to have a refilling every once in a while of the Holy Spirit, all right? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. Now look, all that's human, all that's humanity, all that's me and you getting older. All right, but the word of God. But the word of God endureth forever. So if you get into that, you will endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And as Brother Luke, we were talking about yesterday, this church has been preached a progressive church. It's where we progress. We're progressive revelation. We come to a place to where we know that we need more from God. Not just that God sent us a prophet. We don't. Those days are gone. They used to be that day. That day back in the 60s, where Brother Homer and different ones were preaching the word of God, God sent a prophet. We had to believe that. They got us to Christ, but then they introduced a prophet to us, which we were talking about last night. And I believe, as Brother Luke was saying, see, the people that are leaving the message, they're saying, well, Brother Brown just copied Clarence Larkin. Brother Brown just copied, and Clarence Larkin preached a white horse rider was the Antichrist before Brother Brown came on the scene. But listen, he was a Trinitarian, so he didn't have all the pieces. Listen, I don't care where Brother, my whole sermon come from the prophet's message and the Bible. So what's wrong with that? That's where you're supposed to get it from. But listen, Clarence Larkin didn't have a message. Clarence Larkin did not have a vindicated Malachi 4 message. All of them were great men. Look, Dwight Moody, different ones, great men. Going to be in heaven. Going to be bride. We got to understand one thing. We say we've got this great message, and we do. But you're going to be a small microcosm of the bride. Maybe just a few thousand, or maybe even a few hundred thousand. Everybody else is under Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. The bride for their day. That's why they're going to come to you and say, hey, man, how'd you make it? We heard y'all had the worst time. We said, oh, well, God sent us a prophet. To clarify, not change, to clarify the gospel so that we know what it says and we don't have to worry about, like we're going to say here before, right in a minute. Brother Bram says, Jesus' first doctrine, watch. His first doctrine was, you must, not you need to be, or you might want to be, you must be born again. So if Jesus preached his first doctrine, then let that be our first doctrine. You must start somewhere. You must be born again. Now watch. Till we find out there's so many different meanings that people put to that, you must be born again. All right? Some people say you must be in this message. No, that ain't true. Don't get quiet on me. That ain't true. You must be born again of the Holy Spirit of God, not the spirit of a man that lives down here. We find out there's so many different meanings that people put to it. The Baptist says, just come and shake my hand. All right? What do they call it? Let me see. Make a decision. You better make more than one. Because I've seen many a funeral of a man you never saw in church, in a Baptist church. You never saw him live just a hound dog life, and they put him in heaven because he shook a preacher's hand when he was 10 years old. No, that ain't it, people. That ain't it, but that's their part of the being born again. Amen? Luther is justification. Wesley preached sanctification, but that won't even get you and I saved in this day. Everybody with me? Amen. Nearly all churches say that you must be born again. That is a central theme because they can't do away with the book of John because that's real close to John 3:16. Because when Jesus gets finished with that dissertation with Nicodemus, what did he say? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's for everybody. That's the Joel 2. He pours out his spirit upon all flesh. You can receive the Holy Ghost anytime you want to. You don't have to be in a church, but it's a real good place to be. I promise you, you will be afterwards. You might get born again out under a tree somewhere. I believe I got born again. I was sitting in a motorhome in Kentucky. Okay? But you know what? I'm not still sitting in that motorhome in Kentucky. That's been 20-something years ago. All right? As Brother Luke says, and I say, and Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching on it the other night. We spend a lot of time telling people things that if they're born again, they should already be doing. So why not go back like we're doing and preach people to the new birth? And you'll never have to preach about people coming to church. A Holy Ghost person will come to church regardless. All right? I said regardless. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth anyhow. We get them born again first. Let's don't get them into church. Let's get them born again. Then they'll want to go to church. All right? That want to will be in there. As I was saying before, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and it'll transform your life. But that won't do away with your problems. Don't think this prosperity gospel they're preaching out here in the world that you get born again under their idea and God's just going to rain on you. Your bills are going to quit coming. You don't have to put that $4 gas in your car no more. Just automatically stays full all the time. No, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. But you're going to know how to get through them. You will not know how to get through them without the new birth. That's why, did you read in the paper the other day? Suicide in the United States is almost double. 50,000 people in this country alone. 50,000. That's more than the county you're sitting in. Hall County is a big county. There's about 60-something thousand people in this county. 50,000 people committed suicide last year. Up some 30-something percent. And you know what the whole dissertation was? They don't know why. I can tell you why. They ain't got God. They don't have a spiritual rudder. They don't have something to turn their boat. Everybody with me? There's different interpretations of what it means to be born again. Might go to the Methodist church and say, we believe you must be born again. How do you interpret that? I go to the Baptist church. We believe you must be born again. How do you interpret that? I'd go to each church and we'd find if we went to all 900, then was 900. You know, there's 13,000 different denominations now in the world. That was 969 when Brother Branham was alive in 1965. So you see, that didn't stop any denominations. The devil just went after them and just had many, many more. There'd be 900 different interpretations. So seeing that there's so many different interpretations, and yet a Bible doctrine. So there must be and is a truth somewhere.
Yes, it is.
So now remember, it didn't say you ought to be born again, but you must be born again. And then he talks about what we're saying in English. Said until you're born again, and so many different interpretations of the word born again, we ought to seek it out with all our heart. To find what it means. And we've been 100-something sermons trying to get us to see if you'll go back to number 1 through about 30. We talked about you must be born again. But we kind of backed up for the new ones that come. And we know one thing's for sure. That's not your new birth. That's your new birth. You're born again at faith. We'll talk about this one. There'll be an anointing right here that's going to strike us, the church, everybody. But that you got to get born again first. You got to get in a family before you can even be adopted. You got to be in a family before you can get any promises. We'll talk about that in a second. No matter how much you try to think you're right, saying a creed, joining a church, this is my idea. You're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. It doesn't change you. These people that are leaving the message, they never were born again. They just come in under the umbrella of the anointing that this message will give you. And you get among people and you love people. But you don't love them with this. You're loving them with intellect. If you love them with a pure what? Heart. Fervently. Not this thing right here, but the heart of you, the very soul of you. It doesn't change you. Your creed, joining church, changing your ideas, or your good intentions. What's the road to hell paved with? Good intentions. All right? Although as good as it might seem, it's still not right. There's something got to happen. The new birth is an let me say it like Brother Keith Reeves, an experience. He's from Jamaica. He was here last week. So it's an experience. He adds that little experience. Something that takes place.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, every one of your sisters sitting in this building that had kids, you knew when you had that child.
Right.
Okay, that's an experience. That's a birth.
Right.
So that's an experience. Same way, if you're a Christian today, you can pretty much put your finger on the day that you got born again. Well, if you get quiet on me, that means you need to get born again. What Brother Dale always tell us, all those years, he harped on us and harped on us. He said, I had rather seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of my life and get to the end of the road and know that God said, well, you got it back yonder, than to not and sit in a church and die and say, I'm in the message. I don't cut my hair. I don't, I do, I don't, I do, I don't, I do, I don't, I do. You're going to hell. If that's all you got. If that's all you got. I'm sorry. Now, to begin with, to base back, the reason we have to be born again is because the Bible teaches us that we're all born in sin, all shaped in iniquity, and come to this world speaking lies. And then that shows us that our nature, to begin with, is sinful. Okay, now listen, we know that we hear preachers and we preach ourselves. Two, that you have representation. There's a seed. There's a theophany. There's a part of God. There's a piece of God that you get, but you get it at the new birth, not at your first birth. If you got it at your first birth, you wouldn't need a new birth. Pretty simple. Then that shows us that our nature to begin with is sinful to start with. We're no good to begin with, so we cannot claim anything by our shrewdness. How I can out-argue this person. I can out-argue my neighbor. No, you ought to just love your neighbor and let your neighbor ask what you do, like ours did. And for those of you that don't know it, our neighbors are gay. Two boys, two men. Well, they're older men. They're older than I am, one of them. But anyway, they come and ask, hey, what do you believe? Well, people in the community never ask us that. They just assume that we follow a man. He's God. He's this. He's that. We do this. We do that. At least they ask. How great we are, how little we are, or whatever more, we are all together wrong to begin with. So let's just all strip it down to the bottom. Strip it down to the wood.
Yes, sir.
All right? And there's nothing that we can do about it except be born again. Joel 2:28 says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let's hurry through this. I want to get to a point. Hebrews 9:6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. He's talking about the Old Testament. This is before the new birth come and entered into a person. Because remember, in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away your sin. It could only cover your sin until Christ come and died to give us eternal life. Is everybody with me? All right, so no new birth in the Old Testament. Because right here, it'll explain to you. The Bible will. But into the second went the high priest once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, this is Bible. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all. Remember, he took the blood, went in for everybody, the whole congregation. Now you got to go. You can't depend on the preacher to go for you. That the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, and that's the tabernacle, the physical tabernacle in the wilderness. Jesus tried to get them to see that he was the tabernacle. They tried to get to tell them that he was the one. He was the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. But they just wouldn't listen. They always fell back to the old tabernacle. But Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, what is it? It was his flesh. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Watch, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for himself.
Well,
be careful, amen. That's no way to say this. He didn't need it. We need it. He did it for us. He did it for me and you. So Moses had power and anointing without character. What Brother Bam tell us? Power without character was satanic. All right. David, Samson, Abraham, Jacob, Noah, Saul, Elisha, they all had flaws. They all had they didn't have a spiritual rudder inside to keep David from killing his best friend and committing adultery. Amen? But he was the man after God's own heart because God knew his heart. Hebrews 11, verse 39 said, these all, Brother Luke and Brother Bob's been on the book of Hebrews. Y'all, you should have called it pretty good. Brother Bob's been on it. Brother Luke's been on it. We've been reading it. So the book of Hebrews is a good book. And I hope y'all understood yesterday what he's talking about, the book of Hebrews. Some of you that didn't. That's why that Jim says, who makes the best coffee? And he said, Wade does, because he brews the coffee. That's what Brother Luke was talking about last night. So I was going to clarify that today, that he brews. Anyway, those of you that don't drink coffee, you can fall asleep. Hebrews 11, if you drink coffee, you wouldn't. Hebrews 11:39. And these all, having obtained, I love it when people are interpreting like the brother back there. All of y'all laughed. About 3 seconds later, he laughed. Because Luis had to interpret it and send it to him in his earbuds, and he laughed after y'all did. So you have to kind of wait. You get a delayed reaction when people are interpreting. So, and these all having obtained a good report. I'm just glad Brother Branham was not from another country. I'm sorry. I'm just glad he was a good old Kentucky English guy, and I learned, you know, that good English, and I speak it like he does. But look, all these great ones, all these great warriors, all these great people of faith, the great hall of faith is standing there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the different ones in the Old Testament. They did not receive the promise of Genesis 3:15 that I'll put enmity. In other words, I'm going to come as God, but I'm going to come as human, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to redeem this thing back. He couldn't do it in the Old Testament. He had to come with himself in flesh and die physically for me and you. Because remember, Hebrews 11 says, all these having obtained a good report. And I love what Paul says. He gets finished with all this, and he interpolates because he puts it in parentheses. He tells all about all these Barak and all these different ones. He said, whom the world is not even worthy. The world, to them, the world wasn't worthy for them to walk in, is what Paul said. But, they didn't receive the promise. The promise was a baptism of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So listen, to make them perfect, we've got to become perfect first. I didn't get many amens out of that. You say, I can't. Well, no, you can't, because you just said you couldn't. What is your confession? Be ye therefore perfect.
Yes, sir.
Complete.
Yes.
As your Father in heaven is complete and perfect. We're never going to be perfect in our flesh. But if we have a perfect word with a perfect God, with a perfect message, with a perfect fivefold ministry, I'm not talking about humanity. I'm talking about the gift. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said unto them, repent. Any of you that would like to be baptized, repent first. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. What a promise. For the promise, what? That promise they missed in the Old Testament. You're privileged to that promise. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that covers all of us. All right? So there's the promise. Now watch this. Brother Ram said in blasphemous names, paragraph 91, said the reason that there's so much confusion today, this was 1962. It ain't got much better. About the Holy Spirit, it's not correctly taught. I believe that the baptism is taught, and he says they're just saying the baptism. You know, we'll just throw it out there. But then, you say, automobile. Well, there's many of them. There's Chevrolet, Ford, Dodge, GMC products and all those others. But it's an automobile. But it's many different ones. But there's got to be one vehicle that we get in. And that's called the new birth. And it's only come one way. And that's by you dying. There's got to be a death for you to live. Got several mechanics in the church. We do too. I don't know one thing about it. Neither do I. So if I make a mistake, brother, I'm going to call you. I'm not a mechanic. There has to be coils, plugs, points, valves, and everything else. Listen, he can quote that, but where do they go? Right. Donnie would know where they went. I don't know a thing about electricity, except one thing. Call an electrician. It scares me to death. My dad and different ones, electricians, they'll just put them things together, and you'll hear, see a little spark, or they'll go, ouch. Uh-uh. No, not this boy. Brother Colley, Daddy used to, he used to test 9-volt batteries with his tongue to see if they were, everybody with me? You know what? A 9-volt battery, it's got two little things. Well, he would stick that to his tongue to see if they were, I said, Pa, let's get a battery checker. Oh, that's okay. That was his way of doing things. And that's the way it was. He'd stick his tongue to that thing and he'd go, oh, this one's good. Or no, this one's dead. And when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot goes with that. See, there's a lot goes with that. And here is what I think that God is proving is that the Holy Spirit is here. And I contend the same thing. Now, Peter said, first, faith. Now, he keeps going on that faith is the foundation. Faith is your new birth. Everybody with me? Yeah. Now, then from this and then bringing this into the seven church ages, God is building in seven church ages a bride for Christ. And you know what we are? We're the last one. We're in the last church age, the last body, the last bride, the last people on the face of the earth that's going to get the new birth. Yes, sir. Now, listen to me. The new birth. Because 144,000, they don't get the new birth as we do to be bride. They do get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul, their own birth, but it's because they are servants, not bride. All right? And they get it after we're gone. There is going to be a door of the Gentiles closed, folks. Come on. I don't want to scare you to death, but the thing is creaking shut.
Yes, sir.
Now look, the only way you can be a son or daughter of God is because you have to have eternal life. Not because you can quote a quote and have your favorite preacher or go to your favorite church. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's own life.
Amen.
Only one form of eternal life, that was God. There, to be a son of God, you had to be in Him always. In other words, back before eternity.
Yes.
Brother Brown said,
amen.
Back in the eternal, before God was God. What was God's first creation? God? That's what the prophet said. Figure that one out. Only one form of eternal life, that was God. To be a son of God, you had to be in Him always. Remember, if you go through trials in your life, and you don't ever say, God don't love me. Because God can't change His mind. If He ever loved you from the beginning of time, even way past the beginning of time, if He ever loved you then, He can't unlove you. Now, you can unlove Him. But He can never change His mind about you. So if you were in the mind of God, if you're sitting here today with some kind of sanity in your brain that says I'm either lost or found, we have a lost and found department. It's called a church. You'll get that in a minute, too. There to be born a son of God, you had to be in Him always. The gene of your life. Now look, not the gene of this life. The gene of your life, comma, spiritual life tonight, or today, was in God. Because remember, see, God can't change. He can't say, Brother George, I messed up. I give Him the new birth and He's got problems. No, that's not God. God knew He'd have problems, but He knew He wanted the new birth.
Yes,
that's the way I see God. He's not worried about your problems. You say, well, I've always heard preachers say He's worried. Yeah, He's worried about your soul. You're going to have human problems till your day you die or we leave this place. Because we're humanity. But He's interested in your soul, Brother Dale. For all these 52 years He's been preaching in His church. He wants your soul. He don't care about your body. He's preaching to your soul. How many times has He told you that? That's what I'm trying to do. Preach to your soul. I'm not preaching whether you like me or don't like me or it's 12 o'clock. We've only got one service, so don't be scared. If we go past 12, it'll be okay. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. Praise God. Now, I believe in internal security that way. Not the way the Baptists did. Shake a hand and then don't go back to church for another 20-something years, but they'll put you in the, as Brother Dale says, they'll put you in heaven for paving the parking lot or giving some money for an offering or, you know, no. You are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. Now you're expressed after his word has come in you. So now listen, if you're going to express his word, that means you got to do what it says.
Yes.
You got to do what the word says. You can't just be your own rogue. You know, I'm going to just go out here and be a rogue person. You know, just no. You're still a lamb. You're a herd animal. And guess what happens when you're in a herd? What happens when one goes away? The wolf will get that one. But you stay together. You stay tight-knit. If you'll watch, I watched a documentary one time about these musk ox that live in like sub-zero weather, and they have their little kids, and they birth them one time a year, I guess when it's warmer, but it's like 40 below zero. And then here comes a polar bear. I mean, this polar bear's huge. And this little bitty, he gets kind of off away from the herd. And buddy, here goes the polar bear. But he forgot that mama and daddy and a couple other mothers were standing right over here behind like some snow or something. Yeah, polar bear figured out real quick. He better run. Why? Because everybody went after that person. That's why I say about it, we need to go after people. Amen. Brother Donnie was praying about people. You start praying about people that are not here anymore. We all got them. I want them back in the herd. Amen? And those mothers, them big ox, they put that baby in the middle and they formed a tight circle. There's no way that polar bear was going to get to it. There's no way the devil's going to get to you. If you'll do what I tell you to do, what the Bible tells you to do, stay in church, read your Bible, fellowship. That's the only way you're going to make it. You cannot make it by yourself. I didn't say that. God did. But now the devil would tell you different. Oh, yeah, go on. You're fine. They don't like you at that church. They don't like you, but don't. I wouldn't even go back. If the devil's opening his mouth and talking, he's lying. Okay? If his lips are moving, he's lying. All right? We need each other. That's why brotherly kindness is way up here, and we've been talking about brotherly kindness. And that's loving your brother as you love yourself. Loving your neighbor, the two gay guys that live beside me. I have to, and I know I do. I have to love them the same as I love me to be brotherly kindness. Because listen, Jesus Christ loved you when you were unlovable. Gay, straight, doesn't matter. That's just a title that the devil has given us, but we can all be saved if you'll just give your heart to God. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. There's a required way of doing it, and that's get in the Bible, get into the promises of God, and just say, hey, I don't know. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. You'll find out later. Therefore, you get what I mean. You are now made. You're sitting in this church tonight because your duty, watch, is to express God to this nation and this people and this neighborhood where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here.
Yes.
Because you have to be one of his genes or attributes. Now listen, I act like my dad and mom because that's my genetics, physically. But we ought to act like our Father, heavenly, if we have his genetics. If you've got eternal life tonight, in other words, if you've got it now, then it always was eternal life. It never was a lower form and then became an upper form. No, you were just lost. And what? You were pulled away from it by Satan. But God's pulling you back. Thank God. It always was eternal life. And God, before there was a foundation world, knew that you'd be here. What? Foreknowledge. He knew you'd be here.
Yes.
He knew when he said, let there be everybody that's sitting here today and what you're all thinking. And when the word or the water, the washing of water of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in a being. Now you have fellowship with your Father, God, just as you have with your earthly father. See, you are citizens of the King. Not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that eternal life dwells in you. That's the most important thing, is to know that you're born again. Or listen, it's most important to know you're not. Because you can do something about it. If you want to. Let's look in the book of Ezekiel just for a minute. The Bible tells us, Ezekiel says, a new heart will I give you. Now listen, God is a master surgeon. He can change you and never leave a scar. He can take things out and put things in and never leave a scar. Praise God. So he's going to give us a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart. What can you do with a stony heart? You can't even live with one. Out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, something that's, what, pliable, something God can use. And look, and I will put my spirit. Now, that's what I want. Now, he's going to give you a new spirit. We're going to explain it just for a little bit for some of the newer ones. And I will put my spirit. Now, who is my? God. That's God Almighty. That's eternal life. God, there's not a part of God that's not eternal. Everything he is eternity. All right? And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Come to church, read the Bible, pay your tithe, all that stuff. That's easy to do. Get a spattering of amens, a few old me's. But we got to start somewhere, so let's start just for a few minutes with justification. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore being justified by what? Faith. Help her getting that door. Bless her heart. Don't hit that baby. Them babies are gone. I can put them to sleep any age. Doesn't matter. Little, medium, older, gone. Gone to the left and nod. When you're good, you're good. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, by whom also we have access. All right, he takes out your stony heart, puts in a heart of flesh. He has access to be able to deal with you. We were undealable, if that's a word. Did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm preaching to perfect people. We were lost. I'm sorry. I had a conversation one time in times past in what? Lust of the flesh. All of us did. You say, I never did this, I never did that. Pharisee. And what did Jesus say to the Pharisee? You are of your... Okay. Anyway, that's okay. Don't say that. Therefore, be justified by faith. The whole thing, you say, well, what's faith got to do with it? You got to believe that God can do it. You got to believe that God can justify you. You got to believe that God can wipe your sins out and never remember them again. Put a no fishing sign. What's our problem? I did this. I did that. And God's going, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. But do you really believe that? Because you and I as human beings, we can't do that. I wish we had a sea of God's forgiveness. There's one up there. But praise the Lord anyway. Some of the young kids are going, what's he talking about? If I remember your name, I'd tell you. Thank God he can't remember. But listen, you got to believe that he can do that. You got to believe that he is a justifier. And he's so much a justifier, he can make you just. Even in your lowest estate, even in justification, just when you say, God, forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry for what I did. He's just that he knows your heart. And if you really want to get rid of that thing, he'll forgive you.
Yes, sir.
And listen, he'll never remember it again. But the problem we have is we need to move further. Because the same person that made you do all that drinking, smoking, cussing, gambling, not coming to church, whatever. We all had, I call it a laundry list. We all got one, just a little different than others. Mine might be socks and yours might be shirts, but we still had one. But that person's still in there making you do that. Now, see, God's took the stony heart out and he's put a heart in that he can work with if you'll let him. Because what will happen with us is we'll be satisfied and say, oh, I have this great feeling. I feel good. It must be the Lord. Be careful. Be careful. The devil can make you feel good. All right, is everybody okay? I know it's simple, but we're going to preach till 3 or 4 o'clock. We all be used to staying here to 4 anyway, so we just got 4 hours left. This is a 4-hour battery. I just put it in here. Scare people to death when you do that. You'll be with me, won't you, Brother Michael? Hey, I knew he would. Yeah. He sits up front where he can get it fresh. That's right. But we got to believe that God can do these things. We really, in our humanity, can't fathom somebody not remembering what we did. Because you remember it. I drive by places. Hey, I still live here. I drive by places that I did certain things. Did I know I did them? Hold on a minute. The person I did it with knew I did it. Or the group. Or the one. I love my wife. She's so patient with me. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But we drive by those places and... Kendra, your mama. Thank the Lord for grace. But you go, and you do. You remember things you did. You remember the places you went to. And you know what? You drive by them, and you remember them, the person you didn't. You remember you never sinned alone. The person that you did it with. And the devil still remembers it. But God's going, what sin are you talking about? I don't ever remember you even going to that place. Come on, somebody. I don't even remember you doing that. Now, do you really believe that? That's a God we serve. He can wipe your slate clean. You can't do it. The devil can't do it. Your mom and daddy can't do it, but God can do it. Because he's just. He's a justifier.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. I have to believe that the things I did, sure, I don't do anymore, but God doesn't remember them. He will not hold it against you ever again. But if you don't continue moving on, we go to the book of Luke, where it tells us that the unclean spirit goes out. All right, now the one that made you do all these things, it's leaving you because you know what? It don't like you coming to church. It don't like you. You know, there's a lot of places we don't like to be, right? Well, the devil don't want to be around. It gets kind of hot when God shows up. It gets a little hot. I mean, everybody thinks Satan is hot. No, he's going to a hot place, right? Yeah, he's going to a hot place. There's nothing hot about him. He's going to a hot place, all right? But he feels that fire of God moving closer to you. Because remember, you were alienated from God. You were a cold, stone-hearted. I don't care if you were a kind person. You were cold and stone-hearted before you were born again. That's what the Bible says. You have a stony heart. So God's going to take that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh where he can work on it. All right, man. You need to go to church. But you remember, you're still a free moral agent.
Yes,
You can accept or reject. Even sitting here today, you can accept and reject. But when you get into the first part of your Christian journey, it's much more, well, I'm going to say that. It is important that you listen to God, that you listen to a preacher, that you listen to the prophet's message, that you read your Bible and pray. Listen, that section of your life, you did something before. Me, play ball, go hunting, fishing, blah, blah, blah. Right? Some went to bars, some spit. I got friends of mine, they're not friends now because they left me. But they'll go sit in a bar for 3 hours after work. I like to think that I use my time a little better than being in a bar. I get some spirit, all right, but it's not in a bar. You see how it changes your attitude? But remember, if you stay there, remember that unclean spirit's going to come back. And it's going to make you worse. That's why you need to get the Holy Ghost and know that you got it. Know that you've had that old thing burn out and killed it. Not put it in the closet and get it out when you need it. That's the problem with people leaving this message. They just put God. They just put that old them in the closet. Come on, somebody. You can't turn this word down by standing here for all the time we've stood here and turn it down after 40 years or 50 years. You never had it to begin with. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," believeth, ongoing, "should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world," look, "but that the world through him might be saved." The world. Yes. If they'll accept him. But they won't all accept him. "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Justified. "But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God," who is what? Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Yes, sir. I know what Matthew 28:19 says, and I know that was Jesus talking, but you know what? He was telling exactly what Peter's telling right here. Amen. Repent. Amen. Jesus said, be baptized in the name. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. It's a title to a name. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a human. Postal worker. Preacher. But my name is Samuel Wade Dell II. That's how I sign my checks. We really don't sign checks much anymore, but that's the way you sign your name. On a legal document, you wouldn't write father. That's right. Nope. Right. So you're identified by a name. Yes, sir. Amen. I want to be identified that name. The name of the only begotten Son of God, who is what? Jesus Christ. Amen. Pretty simple. Amen. But the world's confounded with it. So sanctification, the Bible says he'll give you a new heart. Now remember, and put a new spirit in you. Now that's not the Holy Spirit. According to the prophet. And according to my life, he's not going to put the Holy Spirit in my soul until I'm born again. And then take it out. He will not. He's not an Indian giver. Once he puts that thing in there and seals it, when God seals it, nobody opens it. Amen. Folks, the devil can't even get in there. As powerful as we try to think he is. Sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." What are you saying, Brother Wade? When you come to justification in your walk with God and you give your heart to God, you stand right here, you weep your way, as they say, to the altar, which I did, standing right here. Give my heart to the Lord. But the devil's like, nah, come on. Come on, don't you remember? I said, yeah, I remember, but God don't. And I said, the things I used to do, I do them no more. You know what, though? That desire was still there. I used to chew tobacco, dip stuff, whatever you want to say. And June will tell you, I don't know how she kissed me all those years. I had it in my mouth for so long. But today, God save my soul. He sanctified me from that, and never again have I even wanted to look at it. You say, well, no, that's bad. Oh, hold on. No, clap. Well, that's just a sign you got born again. No, that's a sign that unclean spirit left me. If I'd have let it, it'd have come back. Because, listen, I'd be lying to tell you that there wasn't some temptation. Temptation was there. But I said, nope. Because I knew that, as you've heard my testimony, some of you have not, that when I came out of the water, when I was rebaptized, and I came out of the water, it felt like I was still in the water. It was raining, and it was flushing, and when I grabbed June and we were just crying like babies together there on the riverbank, I swear, I know I'm a young soul to swear, but I'm telling you, I felt empty, like there was absolutely a drum, and at that time it was probably pretty bigger than this, a 55-gallon drum, but it was empty. You say, oh, God wasn't there? You got to remember, sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out. God's working on you. He's working behind the scenes, but you know what he's doing? He's seeing what you'll do. Is this all right? Maybe, well, this is not what I had in my sermon, but we're good. But he's still behind the scene. He's the clean spirit that wants to get into inside of your house, but he's going to wait right here just to see if you'll invite this guy back in. What does the Bible say? If you don't, in other words, I'm going to tell you in my language, if you don't get it sealed by the Holy Ghost, he goeth and taketh seven other spirits worse than he was. He comes back into your house. No, I'm sorry, he didn't say that. He says his house. Then he saith, he, who's he? The devil. The devil says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. That's okay, that's good. But don't stay there. Because if you stay there, he's going to go and take seven more. And you know what they're going to be? They're not going to be, you're not going to be a seven times more smoker, drinker, cusser. He's going to bring religious guys with him. He's going to bring his religious demons and say, hey, this guy thinks he's got it. Y'all come on. Let him sit here for a while. Let him sit somewhere for a while. Then all of a sudden, what's going to happen? They'll lead you back out. Because remember, the devil don't lead you and guide you into all truth. Who does? The Comforter. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. The devil will not. Then goeth he and taketh themselves seven more spirits more wicked than he is. They enter in, look, and dwell there. Boy, they just sit down. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Jesus is telling us, John 17, he says, sanctify them. He's telling the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are you going to get sanctified? By the truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Oh, Lord, you should have said, I'll take them out. I'll put them in this little bubble and nothing's going to happen. And it's all going to be inside. We're going to be so happy. And that's not what he said. He said, as you have sent me into the world, even so I'm sending them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, I'm going to read this right here real quick. Everybody with me? Amen. We all right? This is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Now, this is Paul preaching to the saints in Lula. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, thieves, continue Paul, preach, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You can all go home, you're going to hell. That's not what Paul said. Paul was bringing their mind and he was telling them, look, all of you were this and they were all going like this. I was one of those. I may have been two or three of those. Okay? If you weren't, then pray for us that were. Paul says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. But ye are washed. I like what Brother Luis is preaching. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God, who now don't remember that list of people. But now you are washed. You are sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Look what he'll do for you if you'll just let him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. Now listen, we can't get born again like we said. We can't take the twins back there, beautiful and nice and pretty as they are. We can't take them and just take them home. Michaela takes them home. She puts them in the closet. These are so pretty. I don't want them to change. I want them to stay the same. I'm not going to feed them anymore because they'll grow. They'll die. They'll die. That's the same way with your Christianity. You'll die. But now watch what Paul says. Hold on. And why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? In other words, why are you fussing about your problems, your issues? I protest by your rejoicing, look, though, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Because remember, there's a spirit realm that the devil can still play in, and he'll keep popping up every once in a while. And you got to kill that thing off, not with spoons and forks, with a sword. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. All right, everybody with me? So now we're at the birth, which Jesus says, the Bible says, I will put my spirit within you. I want that my. Yes. I want the Spirit of God inside of me, not on me. Because remember, you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. That's what the prophet said. Everybody believe Brother Aaron was a prophet? I know. I want to make sure I'm still in the right place. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Matthew 3 verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water. He's talking about John. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yes. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, what? In my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many times you've been thinking on something else or be out doing some work or something and something Brother Dale said a year ago will pop up in your head. Well, you didn't need it before, now you need it now. All right? Because it's like I always said before, out of this sermon, you're only going to get about 15 minutes of content. You just better hope it's yours. You didn't get your neighbor's. Luke 24, verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. I want to get to this right here. Until you be endued. Now, we'll look at that word endued. That word endued means, look, in the sense of sinking into a garment. Jesus is telling the disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now we know we've been to, Brother Luis has preached on it, myself, about two different kinds of power. There's dunamis, where we get our word dynamite, which is right down here, dunamis. And there's another one called exousia. Or exousia. But we'll talk about it just that because they're two different powers. But it all comes from the Holy Ghost. So we talk about here where we see Jesus said you'll be endued. You'll be put on or clothed with, arrayed in, be clothed to sink into. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, God just didn't anoint them with a little bitty flame over the top of their head. That flame disappeared. It didn't go back to heaven either. It went down in their soul. Yes. It burned them out. Yes. Till you be sunk in with dunamis. Now look, watch this. This is the difference in the two powers. Because we're going to see another place where that words used. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. All right, that's dunamis. So remember, it's moral power and excellence of soul. So what is dunamis? Dunamis, when they were endued with power from on high, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? All right? Everybody stay with me just for a minute. Don't go to nod. Matthew 10, verse 1 is another situation, though. Watch this. And when he had called upon him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, that's different from dunamis. Because dunamis power goes inside of you. Everybody with me? Exousia power is something that God hands to him and says, here, you can use this, and then it'll be taken away from you. Or an anointing. All right? He gave them power because, remember, in Matthew 10, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had not been to the upper room. Okay? But he gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out, heal the matter of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, that's exousia, which is authority. Jurisdiction gives you liberty or strength. Power of choice. Look, power of choice. The power of authority. God was giving them authority. As he gives us authority by anointings, as we pray before the service starts, we pray that Brother Joe, there'll be an anointing on Brother Joseph to for worship. Brother Boyd, different one, for worship. I know they're not going to preach, but the person that's going to preach, I pray that God gives them an anointing. The anointing to preach. Brother Brownham, many times he'd stand here and say, now, he said, I've been preaching. He said, now I'm waiting on him. Well, now, what was he waiting on? He had the Holy Ghost. He had the anointing to preach the Word of God. He was waiting on another anointing, not another person. He was waiting on another anointing. He said, I'm waiting on him. What? Something to come here to tell the people the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right. Acts 1, verse 4, it's being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard of me. We just read it. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then we continue on. But you shall receive power. Look, Paul said, power after. Listen, you're powerless without God. Amen. You may think you got all kind of this and all kind of, you know, muscles and all. You shall receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're just going to sit down and not say a word to nobody. You're going to just get in the closet and just say, praise God, I'm saved. He didn't say that. And you shall be witnesses. What is a witness? It's something you see. It's something you were involved in. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Lula, Georgia, the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2, verse 4, and they were all what? Filled. Not anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Hey, certain message believers. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, well, it's two souls. It's this. I've already got that. All you got to do is believe Brother Brown was a prophet. All you got to do is do this. All you got to do this, do this, do this, do this. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. They weren't taught. We have not so much as heard about this Holy Ghost. They were preaching what John preached. John's good. John's baptism was okay. But Paul says, it ain't going to do you any good now because you got a further revelation coming. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, there was no disputation. There was no deacon meeting. There was no minister's meeting. Am I making myself clear? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Romans 5, verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. You hear me? Grace, not condemnation, grace. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all this virtues, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. If they'll forgive me first, that's not what the Bible says. No. Do unto others and run, that's not what the Bible says. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgive you.
Yes.
Now listen, this Brother Bram lays it right here in order. Just stay with me just a minute. We believe in justification by faith. Romans 5, 1. We believe that after a person being justified by faith, he has peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's possible that this same person could have habits such as drinking, smoking, doing things that he should not do, filthy habits of the flesh. Doesn't do away with it. Just chops off your past sin, right? Then, if you'll hang around long enough, then we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies this person for the service of the Lord, not put in service, but for service. We believe in sanctification according to Hebrews 13, 12, and 13, where Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And we believe that sanctification is taught in the New Testament. Remember, it wasn't taught in the Old Testament. Because you couldn't come perfect.
Right?
Only in the New Testament. Look, and meant for the believers through the New Testament age, which is now, which we're now living. And we also believe that after that person has been sanctified, unclean habits has gone from that person. You say, like I said before, I know I got the Holy Ghost because I quit drinking. I know I got the Holy Ghost. No, you just got sanctified. The Holy Ghost will put you in service. The Holy Ghost will put you reading your Bible. It'll put you in church. It'll put you doing the things of God. He's a believer on the Lord Jesus, and his habits are gone. This is sanctification. We believe that then he is a candidate. Thank God for a teacher. We believe that he is a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes as a filling of the believer. And then when the believer, it's just as many times as I've taught it, like picking up a glass in a chicken yard. Justification is picking it up, ready to use it with a purpose. That's what God does to the sinner. He's still filthy. Then he is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the word sanctified is a compound word which means cleaned and set aside for service. In the Old Testament, the altar sanctified the vessel, and it was set aside for service. We believe that the Holy Spirit is putting that same vessel into service. All right? Let's see what we got here. We'll go through this. Look, right here. So the Spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things. All right? And you do it, but that don't mean you're saved. Think of it. Caiaphas prophesied. Judas cast out devils. And I agree with Brother Luke last night. He was talking about there's all been spirits of different things going on. The spirit of Judas, because remember, the Judatarian spirit was right there with Jesus when he was getting ready to be crucified. So we have a Judas spirit among us. I don't say us, but among the message, and that's why the people are leaving. They're selling us out and leaving. They're selling the people that sat here for years and years, not here, but sat in their churches for 30 and 40 years and heard them preach a message, and then now they're denying it. See, the Spirit anointed him. This rain falls on the just and the unjust. The weeds can rejoice just as much as the wheat. But it's what it is at the core. There's where you can intellectually can accept and say, oh, sure, that's good. I believe that. I still don't do it. No, sir. And the Spirit can actually make witness of it. And still, it isn't so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out here. But it cannot be real. You can act healing. You can act like you have. You can act like you receive it. Christians can act like they're Christians and act and be ever so good at it, but that don't mean they're saved. That's exactly right. The Spirit can be there, the real, genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still don't mean you're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal life. It came from God. It goes to God. It's your soul. Everybody with me? You talk about, you say, well, prove that. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we preached many good sermons. Many mighty works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. And that word knew is the same as if you, as adults, you understand what I'm talking about. Adam knew his wife Eve. God is telling us, telling that person, said, look, I never had an intimate relationship with you. You never let me inside your heart. Wow. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man, but it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as dark as pitch. False teachers can rise, preaching all kind of, preaching Trinitarianism and everything else, and be anointed with the Holy Ghost. And perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can. Remember what Brother Dale always tells us? He said, I don't care. You bring a man in here and you put 10 dead bodies out here. If he raises every one of them from the dead, he said, I still want to hear him preach. And if he's off the word, I don't care how many people that he raises from the dead. Look, but by the word here, that's what does it. See what I mean? Anointed ones at the end time. Notice, the anointed ones, only the word will separate them. So we've come down to today that only the truth of the gospel is going to separate. All right? The word will separate them, not the signs. All right? Now listen. Shake yourself just for a minute. Oh, no. They'll do the same signs. But it's the word that separates them. Sure, they all prophesied. They all done this, that, and the other. Sure, just the same. Jesus said they'd do the same thing, but the word is what separates them, not the signs. We love signs, but remember, signs does what? Signs follows the believer, not stays in front. Signs follow the believer. Back here, they follow. If you stay in the true word of God long enough, like Brother Brown said, you get under the fountain. If you want to speak in tongues, God will let you speak in tongues. But so will the devil. You got to know which one. Now let's just talk about this just for a minute and then we'll close. Because we got to get to, I like what Brother Keith said Sunday about storms of maturity. That's what, you know, you get your birth and your birth. And I know the two twins, they struggled, I'm sure. Michaela did too. But they struggled to get out. And now we protect them. We hold them as babies like God does at our new birth. He holds us. But now, when they get about 15, Mama may want to hold them. But if they're big as Aaron, just saying, she's not going to hold them in her lap. She'll want to. She loves them. But she said, get a job. Get a car. Get a life. Right? So then their storms of life starts. Your storms as a little child and even as a teenager and some of you growing up now into adulthood. We're not preaching everything's going to be roses. It's a fight. But it's worth it. It's your eternal destination. So these storms of maturity. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Oh, what? I know people in this world, I was telling Brother Luke last night, I know people in this world, I am acquainted with a few people in this world, that if God changed their body back to an 18-year-old kid, they still complain. People are just going to complain. If you change their body back to nothing, that'd be good, though, wouldn't it? Don't hit me like Eddie said. The Bible says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why? Knowing this, now that you do know it, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. These virtues are not humanly possible without the new birth. Now, yeah, you can learn to have patience. You can learn to have knowledge. You can learn to have temperance. You can do these self-help things. I get my self-help from right here. That's my self-help book. Ain't but one. And you know what? Got to know the author pretty well. So you know what he done? He sent me somebody to give me the love story to tell me what he's saying in between these lines. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. Where's Sister Johnny when you need her? I know she's watching. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. Look, entire, wanting nothing. All right? Let's look at this just for a second. There's a metamorphosis that goes on from a caterpillar. Everybody knows what a caterpillar is, right? What does a caterpillar do? When a caterpillar matures, it does what? It metamorphoses, or it changes itself into a what? Some of y'all need to go to school. I learned that in fourth grade. Gracious. Kendrick didn't say nothing. But where was the butterfly? Where was the butterfly? Oh, it just came from over here. And it was inside of that ugly caterpillar. And the caterpillar had to climb up a tree, right? Turn brown and what? Die. So that what was inside of it can come out. A metamorphosis, that butterfly was always in there. But he had to work and struggle, and then he had to pop that old shell out. And he become a beautiful butterfly. That's us. Let's watch this just for a second. The Lord tells us, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, everybody understands what Armageddon is. If you didn't understand what Brother Keith was saying last Sunday, he was saying Armageddon. Amen. He pronounced it a little bit different because he's from Jamaica and he's King's English. But he was talking about also deity. He said deity, but it's deity. If you got what he was preaching on, you'd understand what he was saying. But he gathered him to a place called Armageddon. Now, what is Armageddon? Armageddon is, this is what we say, Armageddon is that great battle way over here. Right? Everybody read your Bible, because I just read it there. There is.